Hey, everybody. Welcome into Sports MacGuffins. It's episode number 33, but it's going to be the least sportsy episode of Sports MacGuffins of all time. Yay!
Whee!
I'm Nick, and I'm joined by a sick Daryl.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, and, everyone.
And by John.
Hello.
Hello, John. So tonight at the live show, we're going to be playing some Total War Warhammer 2. You can always check out our shit later at twitch.tv/Schwarzenegger if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast. We're going to be talking about the NBA playoffs, a little bit of the NFL draft, although the NBA playoffs have been a lot of fun. Like, the first round was a little bit slow, but I'm really enjoying the second round, so we'll be talking about those tonight. And the NFL draft was just kind of, it happened.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It took a long time, too.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, let's see. We're going to do, okay, the game name is Shiver Me Timbers, and the password is Motorboat, which is one word.
All right.
And do you want to do Mortal Empires or the Eye of the Vortex?
Did you guys get this on sale or just full price?
I got it on sale.
Okay. I will wait.
Let's see. Yeah, it was on sale on the Humble Store a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And we all sold out and got it.
I like this game name. It's F.U. Derek. That's a good one.
Okay.
Shout out to Derek.
Let me go ahead and do Mortal Empires. Start this up. Okay, that game is ready. I probably can also invite you, though. So let me do that here. I can invite you to watch. Invite to lobby. Okay, invite to lobby. There you go.
Yeah, I like to watch.
So let's get started.
I do like watching Warhammer streams.
I mean, yeah, this is actually a really fun game. So I guess we can start with the NBA playoffs. The first round was a little bit of it was pretty bad. I love the NBA playoffs, but the first round, you always kind of know that you're sacrificing quality for more teams to be in. Also, I feel like it made more sense when it was a best of five series. But, you know, they got to make the money. But the first round, aside from the Spurs-Nuggets series, was really not great. Spurs-Nuggets was a fun series. Unless you're a Spurs fan, in which case it was not in the end. So the Spurs came out in that final game seven, and they didn't score jack in the first quarter. In fact, they were like, at one point, they were like 1 of 12, I think, from the field. It was really bad, and they missed a lot. And then at one point, it was like 3 of 20 something, I think. And they just were missing everything. They were out of sync. They had no rhythm. And both Daryl and I, who are big fans, were like, I can't. I will just be mad if this continues. So they end up losing. And the stage is now set where it's the Nuggets taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. The Nuggets lead that series 1-0. There's also in the West the Rockets Warriors matchup, which happened, I think, a little bit sooner than we all expected because the Rockets dropped off towards the end of the year. The Warriors lead that series 1-0. They play their second game tonight, so by the time this is over, we won't know the outcome of that, but we might have a little bit of insight into it. And then in the East, you've got Boston-Milwaukee. Boston leads the series 1-0, but they're not going to win tonight because they're currently down 118-93, so that'll be a split series going back to Boston. And then the other series is Toronto as they face who the hell are they facing? Why can't I think of who it is? They are facing
the Sixers.
The Sixers. Yeah, Philadelphia. I should know that because they won. That series is also now split at one game apiece heading to Philadelphia. So all of those are set. We'll talk a little bit more about them in a second. Daryl, who the hell should we play as?
Oh. Wait, is Bordalo not free?
Bordalo? I don't think so.
Bretonnia? They're like the worst faction in the game. Why are they not free? Oh. Let's see. You can be the rat people.
The rat people. All right. I'm trying to remember. Okay. They're all different though. Like, do you want to be closer together or not?
We can be fairly close together.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Oh, you know what? You could do there, and I could be elves.
Wait, that's not where Krokgar is he?
I don't. They change it for the Mortal Empires campaign.
Okay. Hey, Krokgar's supposed to be over there.
Where's the Empire? Oh, okay. That one's over there. Sorry, folks, if you're listening
for
to the podcast.
For the Empire.
This is probably a little boring to you. We're just trying to determine who the hell we're playing as in this game. Oh, God, I don't even know where on the map that is. Oh, there. Okay.
Little dot there.
Where are they? Oh, yeah, the little dot. All right, I guess I'll be the Order of Lore Masters. I don't know. Or I don't care.
It can be dwarves and the Empire, natural allies.
Sure. Okay, let's do that.
Or it can be allies that don't make any sense.
Nah, I'll be the Empire. Why not? I haven't played as them yet. I'll be Emperor Karl Franz.
I will be Thor Grim Grudgebearer.
Excellent. Let us go forth. All right.
I'm playing on easy.
Playing on normal. So, the playoffs. I guess we'll start with the game tonight, which is the Celtics, and they're going to lose tonight to the Bucks. And this game was actually a great game tonight. A lot of fun, back and forth. In fact, it was like a three-point fest for a while there. I felt like every time they were pulling up and trying to take a three, and every time that the Bucks would hit something, Al Horford would pull up and make it. Al Horford was also playing excellent defense on Giannis. Antetokounmpo?
Anyway, Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah, let's go with that. Ray is here. She's... Ray Miggs is one of our good friends and fan. And she's rooting for the Nuggets. Because she is from Colorado. So we don't bear her ill will, Daryl.
No, I don't. I mean, the Spurs just didn't want to score points. I mean, yep. That's why they didn't win.
Yep, that's exactly right. So tonight, looked like a nice back-and-forth game. 4-point difference at the half in the second half. I'll tell you what, man. The Bucks came out firing all cylinders. They're able to hit every single shot. Basically, they're pulling up and taking. They changed the way they played the game because it seemed like at first what they were doing is just letting Giannis go down, and he would get like double, triple teams sometimes, and still like try to go up with it. He wasn't making good decisions. And tonight, what he did is he ended up making good decisions that really impacted his team. Also, George Hill stepped up tonight. I saw him make a lot of good plays. Also. Was smart with the ball, and that's just what the Bucks did differently tonight. They had more intensity. They had better looks, and the looks that they had that were open, they actually were able to make, in the second half at least. The first half, it was a little bit back and forth. They did end up hitting, like, what was it? It was like they took like 34 shots, I think, before the half, and they made like 18 of those, something like that. It was a ridiculous number. That might actually be wrong math. Hold on. Maybe it was 14 of those because it was like just under 50%. But they looked really good. Giannis looked really good. And they were actually making a big point of it too with Giannis, that he had been like a lot of the focal point, and that the Celtics were going to force them to go outside of their comfort zone and play a slightly different version of their game. And they were able to do that today. But
yeah, sort of reminded of those Cavaliers teams, the LeBron Cavaliers teams that kept going to the Eastern Conference Finals and laying eggs against Boston.
Oh, you know, sometimes if your focal point is the only person who's going to do anything, if he's the guy who has to have the ball at all times and he's the only way you score, then you're kind of screwed. And I honestly thought going into this game that might be the case if the Celtics were able to continue to do that and if he continued to make poor decisions like that. But I give credit to Giannis and I give credit to their coaching in this because it looked like at halftime he hadn't fully figured that out, and I feel like he started to feel that out better in the second half, Daryl.
Mm.
So, this series, honestly, I can see it going either way. It just depends. And here's the other thing, too, about this game. Kyrie Irving, who's like the guy, you know, their point guard, he's a master at, like, you know, pulling up little fadeaway jump shots. And he didn't hit, like, in the first half, he was 2 of, like, 12. He was not hitting a lot of shots tonight. Also, he was being really... Now, this is good. He was being aggressive, but he was being, like, too aggressive. You know what I mean? Like, he would come down, and instead of letting the offense get set and get ready for everything, he ended up just pulling up and taking a jump shot very early in the shot clock. So, ultimately... Oh, that's a really cool place. Ultimately, I still think that the Bucks win this series, but I'll bet you the Celtics could take them to 7 games. What do you think, Daryl? Hello?
Hello.
What do you think?
I think they can.
Yeah?
I think I picked... What did I pick? I picked them so long ago. I think I did pick a long series for this one.
It's probably the right decision to make. This is one of those...
I also picked the Spurs to go to the conference finals, so...
I mean, I picked that as well. I honestly think that the Spurs had gone on, they would have been able to match up pretty well with the Trailblazers. But I'm also a homer, so take that with a grain of salt.
I am not a homer. I am a legitimate sports fan.
You're a realistic fellow. And then the other game tonight that we can talk about. Oh, Daryl's on the move over here. The other game tonight being game 2 between the Rockets and the Warriors. And this game, Daryl, is one of those... I'm guessing you're simming this.
Yes.
This is one of those that could make break this series. And the reason I say that... Yes, Homer, Ray, not... Yes, Homer. Anyway. She's like, oh, Homer, in all caps. Is like, what did you think I said? But tonight, so the big story from the first game, other than the fact that it got a little ugly, Chris Paul got ejected after getting a second technical foul, is I guess there were some missed calls at the end. But here's the thing about the Rockets. They live and die on tic-tac fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, and that is James Harden's game. He loves to pull up, kick his legs out, and flop to the ground. And during the regular season, a lot of times he'll get a call. If you know what that means, is like when he goes up, they have to give him space to land, right? Which is when you do a jump shot, you have to have room for your feet to come down. But what he does is he kicks his legs out forward so that they land slightly ahead of where he jumped from, right? So he's basically landing on the defender, and in a lot of cases, they'll give the foul call because he will fall to the ground at that point, right? So that there was a big point of contention because there were a couple of calls late that didn't go their way, and then there was like a missed call that even the league admitted to later that should have been called, I guess. And then... That led to the Chris Paul getting ejected. And actually, one of the foul calls that they missed would have been the 6th on Steph Curry, which would have gotten him kicked out of the game. So there's a lot of like, oh, well, the refs have to get this right. The refs have to get this right. It's like, well, not really. Like, don't put yourself in that position where, if you make your shots early and if you're playing defense early enough, you shouldn't have to rely on, like, what happens. Now, I get it. Sometimes a call will go against you and screw you over. But there were calls on both sides of that game, you know, throughout the game that were wrong. The only thing I really ask of a ref is, like, you can call tic-tac or you could call not tic-tac. You know, you could let them play, you know, be physical, all that shit. Just don't be consistent when you do it. That's a constant problem. And I know Daryl knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But did you see any of that from the last game?
No, you know, there was, I think maybe some, I don't know. It's kind of weird the way that James Harden, like, takes his threes. Like, he's not quite like kicking out like in a blatantly obvious Reggie Miller kind of way, but it is kind of weird how far up he goes. So I can see a referee having difficulty telling.
Seeing the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Now, do you think that there's added pressure on the refs to get it right tonight, or do you think it's just like tough shit? I think the added pressure is now on the Rockets.
I think it's on the Rockets. The Rockets played them tough. They kept it. They were never down very much.
Yeah, I don't think they were down double digits. Like,
maybe briefly in the second quarter.
Right.
But it was, I think it's up to them. I mean, they took a good punch from Golden State. They didn't get rattled. They just got to go out there and play. I mean, they've got a lot of these. I mean, there's games where there's a billion calls that could go either way. There's calls they don't see. They don't do that. So, I mean, all you can do is sorry. All you got to do is put yourself in as good a position as you can. So, sometimes the chips fall where you don't like it. But, Nick, what do you think of these NBA reviews of the calls, like they do the last two-minute report and what they did for the last game?
You know what? Is this the first time they're instituting something like that?
For the whole game?
Yeah.
I don't recall it being for the whole game, or at least it not being public.
I'm just curious, because, like, I don't remember that. Like, I know they'll say, like, if a call was wrong or something, but I don't remember them doing it, like, to the extent that they did now. Like, is this something that's more in-depth than it used to be?
I think so. I don't remember it being quite this open, though. There's been the two-minute report for a few years.
Okay.
Well, looky here. We've got some orcs.
Oh.
I fell for the trap, it looks like.
Here, let's take a look at where you're at.
I have... What's this dude? What's my dude? Okay, my dude is stronger than his. Armor... Melee attack 58, melee attack 52.
So Daryl's trying to figure out the siege that's happening on his place here. The Pillars of Grungmi.
Balance of favor slightly in my power.
I'll say, yeah, favor. I'm honestly surprised that they were as open and, like, willing to throw their guys under the bus, because it has created a bit of a controversy. And, like, I was watching one of the shows earlier today. Like, one of the Get Up or something on ESPN. And they were talking about it, like, it's like, you got to adjust your play style to what they're calling. Like, you can't, you know, if they're not calling you a game, and then they talk to James Harden. James Harden, like, I'm not changing anything. I'm going to play my game. So he very much is, like, in the camp of, like, whatever, I'll deal with it. And then on the other side, you got people like, some of the guys on the TNT broadcast and I talking about it, and they were saying, like, one of them saying, like, the pressure's on the refs now, and the other one was saying, Kenny Smith was saying, like, no, it's not. Like, who cares? Like, they don't have, I mean, obviously you want them to get something as right as possible, but it's like, you're not going to see every little thing, and also, if they're going for these ticky-tack trying to get these calls, they're not going to call everything. It's the playoffs. Here's the thing. Like, if you're not familiar with NBA basketball, during the regular season, they're willing to call a lot more fouls, it seems like. But in the playoffs, what they have is like letting the guys play, right? Play rough. And a lot of times you will see guys come up with like scratches or like bruises or something. Or like, you know, they'll come out like holding something. If it's particularly blatant, they'll blow the whistle. Or if it's something that really affects like a shot or is really like obvious, they'll usually call it. Even sometimes, though, they won't. Like, we've seen it before. Hell, it happened to Brent Berry.
Yeah.
When Derek Fisher fell on him.
Yep. On him while he was in the shooting motion. And Joey Crawford decided, yeah, that's fine.
I guess tonight the Rockets have drawn a particular ref who they haven't like had for several months, and I guess whenever he is reffing their games, he does not fall for their shit. Like, he does not go for their stuff. Like, he basically gives them the lowest amount of whistles out of any of the refs in the NBA. And so I think a lot of Rockets fans are already like, oh my God, this is such bullshit. Why would they do this to us? And it's like, well, try not to rely on such gimmicky bullshit. One, yeah. Not to be mean, but it's just one thing that drives me crazy is like a lot of times they will have a terrible offensive set and then get bailed out by a foul call at the last second, just because James Harden pulls up and happens to make contact with someone's like fingernail.
Yeah, or he'll like there'll be a defender with his arms to the side and he'll just like throw his arms with the basketball into his arms and then drop the ball. It's like, "Oh, look. Swiped at my arms."
That ref, by the way, is Scott Foster, who's going to be in that game tonight. So Scott Foster is well known apparently in Houston fan circles as not going to bail them out and not going to give them the calls that they think they deserve. Now, that being said, I give Houston a hard time because I don't like that style of play because I think it's tic-tac. It's very ticky-tacky. And like, I hate it when the Warriors pull that kind of shit, when they get in the ears of the refs. That's the other thing too, is like, you've got like the team that has the ear of the refs more than any other team, along with the team that gets more calls than the other team, it feels like, going head to head on who can be the louder a-hole.
Oh yeah.
And you know, demand the refs pay attention to them. But having said all that, we as Spurs fans do know what it's like to have a ref who does not call things in your favor.
Yep.
And that man's name for the Spurs was one Joey Crawford. I don't know if it started with... Did it start with the Tim Duncan thing?
I think so.
And like ever since then, he was always like really weird, or he wouldn't give favorable calls to the Spurs, but super awkward situation.
Didn't he do like an interview where he like reveled in the fact that he threw Tim Duncan out of a game for laughing on the bench?
Yeah, didn't he call him like an a-hole or something? Like he deserved it or something?
Yeah. So
it was really weird. So we get it. Sometimes refs just don't like you or your team or certain players on your team. Like, we were upset that we weren't getting calls even in the Spurs series, but then we had to remember that DeMar DeRozan took the ball and, like, threw it directly at an official. And I think when you do that, you don't really buy a lot of leeway with the officials. This should be a great series. I just worry that the whole thing's going to be marred by some kind of controversy the whole time.
And that's the danger of sorry, that's the danger of this. Does it make it more transparent, or does it increase the quagmire that is officiating in the NBA or any sort of major thing? It's kind of weird that the referees have basically no they don't have, like, the players, they do something, the mics are all in their face, they're talking all about it. They're doing interviews. All of the talking heads are talking about it, but the referees just sort of they make big mistakes which affect the game. They just sort of fade into the background. They never have to face the reporters.
That's true. That is one thing we don't see. But maybe that could be even more detrimental to them, because I feel like at least in some instances a player is given the opportunity to explain it or whatever. I feel like it doesn't ever really come off sounding like a good explanation or anything. But I feel like at least they have the opportunity, right?
I feel like the refs are going, I didn't see it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And you know what? And on the one call against the one against Chris Paul where they were like, oh, he was out of bounds. They missed the foul that hit his arm. But it's like, yeah, because he was watching your feet out of bounds. Like, mm-hmm. You can't watch everything at all times. It's very complicated and difficult to do. Like I said, I think it's going to be a great series. I think the Warriors win it. I just think that if the Rockets let it get into their heads too much, this may not even be a series. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's also like they relied on Harden all year long. They're not a great defensive team. Yeah, they were close, but like we saw them slip and fall at the end of the season, right? They dropped a couple of slots. I think they could be in some trouble here. I think the Warriors are going to take it.
I think they will too.
Yeah.
As much as I hate them.
Oh, I do too. All right, and then
I really have no desire for them to succeed in any way.
No, totally. So there's two other series. I think the one that interests me least at this point, and it shouldn't, because it is a good series, is the Nuggets Trailblazers. I think it might just be because I have just seen the Nuggets take out my favorite team, and it hurts, and I don't want to watch them do it again. That being said, I'm glad that they're winning, right? They won their first game against the Trailblazers. It's nice if your team loses to someone, you want that team to be successful in the next round.
Yeah. There's no, as a famous philosopher once said, there's no shame in losing to the best.
That guy was a loser. No, I'm just...
That guy was a loser.
All that being said, that series interests me the least. The Nuggets won on their home floor, so they keep home court advantage for now. Game two coming up tomorrow, which is Wednesday for us. The other series, which I think is more interesting at this point, is the Raptors, Sixers, 76ers, heading to Philadelphia, tied at one. And a big road win for Philly, who I honestly did not think had it in them. I for a long time have given Philly a lot of grief because it was always the trust the process, right? Like they were building and sometimes tanking for no reason to build and acquire other parts and pieces, and it was
which
like
they would then trade down again,
right,
to tank some more,
right? So they did all this work and it felt like it was never amounting to a payoff. And this year, I thought the Nets were going to give them a lot more trouble. Nets won game one, smacked them in the mouth. I was like, man, that is such a big hit. I have very instant reaction, I admit. I hate it when people do that, but I fell for it. I was like, oh, man, the Nets actually look pretty good. And they hit them, and if the Sixers don't come back, they don't stand a chance, especially if J.J. Redick's going to keep playing like he did in that game. Mm-hmm. But they all came together, and they played really well. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. And then in this game two, Joel Embiid's playing with like a stomach bug, and he didn't have a great game, but he did what he needed to do to put him in a position to win. The other thing about that series is Danny Green had a chance to tie it up, and I love Danny Green. God damn it. Sorry. Just getting...
He just loves him that much.
No, I loved him before he was traded away, unfortunately. But I can't take this place yet. I have to fall back and hold position here. So he had an opportunity late last night. And we know as Spurs fans, too, that he can be money and he can also just miss. It happens. And he, last night, he missed when it was necessary for them to tie it up. But Kyle Lowry had a weird thing happen. Like, I felt like he was trying to toss the ball between the defender's legs at some point. And Kawhi Leonard had a pretty good game, but I mean, if you're the only guy scoring for your team, like, I think at one point he had like half the points of the team for a good good chunk of the first half, and then maybe at the start of the second half. So he's basically carrying that team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come out. Jimmy Butler looked great in that game. He really took over for the Sixers. J.J. Redick looked pretty decent. And Ben Simmons did what Ben Simmons does. Although he couldn't defend against Kawhi, but that's a tough order anyway.
Yeah.
So we are both rooting against Toronto. And I'll assume John is too.
Yeah.
Because we say
John,
he will.
Noted enemy of Canada.
Yep.
But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, like, is this... Because here's the thing. I don't like either team. I don't want to say...
Has Toronto won recently? Like...
No, because they always have, like, an early first or second round exit.
Yeah.
And chief among that was one DeMar DeRozan, who now plays for the Spurs. I'm not going to say it's all his fault, but I will say... I could see how it could fall on his shoulders. Now, for Toronto, it just feels like Toronto is a place of misery because it just seems to happen every single year. Now, granted, they did lose the first game of the first round and then bounce back. And was it a gentleman's sweep? It was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They won four straight after that to win the series. In this series... I feel like they're in a bit of trouble. I don't know. What are you thinking, Daryl?
In this series? Oh, yeah. They're definitely in trouble.
Because the Sixers are a team you can't let them go nuts, right? Like, your guys have to be on at all times because they have a bunch of good shooters. They've got good big guys. You're hard pressed here. It can't just be Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kyle Lowry has to come with him. He can't miss big shots late. And Danny Green, when he's open, needs to hit those shots. He missed at least two of those. I think there might have been three where he missed wide open threes that really would have put them in a better position, especially that last one, which would have given them the tie. Granted, there would have been only like 4 seconds left, and the Sixers could have done something with that. And Jimmy Butler had a really, really good game. I don't know, man. That's an exciting series for me. I think it'll be fun. Now, I don't have a rooting interest because, again, I don't like either team. But I do think both those teams could win the East. Honestly, any of the last four teams in the East could win. And that's a nice rarity to see, you know?
Not like, oh, whatever team. Even when LeBron's team's playing really bad, they're still going to back their way into the playoffs.
Yep. Not this time. It's one thing I actually really like about it is we'll see some parity. We'll see some different teams that might deserve it more than the others, and we might see some actual... Like, here's the thing. If LeBron's team... Not that they ever did, but if they... After the Celtics kind of disbanded and he went to the Heat. If was in a position where he lost, you were like, oh, well, we're just sending whoever else to the slaughter, right? It's like, you didn't really give any of those teams a chance. It's like, wow, they upset LeBron. That's pretty much all they could muster at that point.
Yep.
So,
like,
oh, go ahead.
Like those Brooklyn Nets, those sold their soul Brooklyn Nets when they brought in Garnett. And they just totally sold the farm for a bunch of really old players. And the one time they might have stood a chance, they just played awful, and it was just garbage basketball to watch.
I do remember that, man. Ah, jeez.
But we got a bunch of hungry teams, a bunch of hungry fighters, Nick.
Yeah, man, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, Kawhi, he's hungry.
He's hungry to betray a team. No.
He's hungry to do, he wants to take two teams to the conference finals and then dump them.
Yep. He's looking to do that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Steph Curry is walking out. He's walking back into the locker room. That is not good news for the Warriors. However, Kevin Durant has been fucking money. And I'll tell you, it bothers me. It still bothers me to this moment that he went to the Warriors. He went to the team with the best record in the history of the NBA that lost the finals. but he went to a team that had already proven it was better than the rest of the league. And he basically went there and became their MVP.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that was probably really short-sighted of the NBA PA.
Yep. That was very short-sighted. No, you're right.
Because they were like, no, like the owners were like, oh well, maybe we can just add a little bit to the salary cap and then just proportionally distribute the rest of the increase of the salary cap to all the players. They're like, no, give us all the money now. I'm like, okay. So if you were a free agent in that offseason, great for you, but ended up being really bad for all the other players. Timofey Mozgov.
Oh, God.
Got a $60 million deal or something?
To go and do nothing?
Yep.
Hey, so I was thinking about this. We said that basically any of the four teams out of the East could go to the finals at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, it could go either way, that both series are tied up. I think either would be a fun matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. I do not think the same of the Western Conference Finals. Or the Western Conference. I think that Denver would be a fun matchup with Golden State because I think that they're young and they wouldn't let that get in the way of them, you know, like going out there and giving it their all. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, again, they're a young team. They haven't been there before. They're not fully experienced with what to do in these situations. And I feel like they wouldn't have enough to, if they managed to go to the Western Conference Finals and somehow beat the Rockets or the Warriors, I don't know if they'd have enough to like pull it out, like if they'd have the experience, right? Because that is important. You know, people say like, oh, they've been there before. They have a championship pedigree. Like they've experienced it. They've seen it. Like, okay, yeah. But in this case, we don't know that for sure. And we haven't seen that yet from them. Portland, I also just do not think would stand a chance against the Warriors. They might match up decently with the Rockets. I just think they get obliterated by the Warriors. I don't think they stand a chance against them. I don't think they have the pieces. Lillard's great, but when you can, you know, keep Thompson on him or Steph, depending, and just swap them out.
Yeah.
He's their main go-to guy on offense, so it's like, I don't know what you can do at that point.
Yeah, or you have like Golden State, who has a Dame Lillard-style player. Then they have two other players equally offensively dangerous. So, yeah, the Portland-Denver series kind of feels like sort of like two teams fighting for third place there.
Which kind of sucks because normally that's the thing that happens in the East, I feel like. So in this case, we're experiencing it in the West. I think the Rockets probably could potentially beat the Warriors. I think the Nuggets, just in terms of like the talent that they have and like the matchups that they have, it would be a really fun series against the Warriors. I just don't know if they could get it done. I don't know if anyone can get it done. I think probably the most fun matchup to watch would be Raptors-Warriors in the finals. But I wouldn't like the outcome either way in that. I don't want the Raptors to win. And I definitely don't want the Warriors to win again.
Nope. I think if the Raptors won, I would just crawl into a hole and die.
On the upside of that, though, maybe Kawhi Leonard would hang around in Toronto and not go to L.A.
Oh, on the upside, he's going to rob the town blind and leave.
What, to go play everyone. Second fiddle to LeBron?
No, I'll probably go to the Clippers. The Clippers showed some chutzpah. Doc Rivers.
All right.
So he's still got some gas in the tank.
All right. Enjoy. Have fun.
They're
with
owned
that.
By Steve Ballmer now, Nick.
Yeah. He's a fun guy.
John, you know all about Steve Ballmer, right?
Oh, no.
From Microsoft?
The bald guy, yes.
Yes.
I like that John was all right, like, thanks, I'm, John. Not, even, I'm all right. not even gonna try.
I was like, does he own a team? Is he that rich?
Yeah, he is
he's
that
like
rich.
Gates rich, right? Well, not Gates rich, but he's up there.
Yeah. He's like, what's that guy? Who's that guy that owns Oracle? Ellison, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's like Larry Ellison rich.
Who owns a stadium.
Who also owns a basketball team, actually, now that I think about it.
Anyway, sorry that this episode's a little helter-skelter in terms of the... We weren't sure exactly what game we were going to be playing and what exactly we'd be talking about in that thing. So, I love the NBA. So I'm excited to see what happens the rest of the playoffs. I'm actually excited for every single series that's happening right now, although chances are that the Rockets will get swept. No, they won't.
It'll be a gentleman's sweep. They'll
win two games.
Wow, Nick. Gentleman's sweep, you say?
No. I'm
at least six games.
I'm being negative. Obviously. Yeah. And then the other thing I was just going to briefly mention was the draft. Just because the NFL draft, like, a lot of people love it. And, like, mm-hmm. it's interesting. But, like, I don't get super excited about it because it's like, great, cool. We'll get a rookie from college and he'll have to learn how to do it for a year before he's really a total use to us. He might have like a little bit of an instant impact, but it's not going to be enough to push us into the playoffs or the Super Bowl. So a lot of people love the draft. It's kind of like when I was doing radio here in Austin that people freaking loved signing day. And I was just like, this kid's going to college. Congratulations. We'll see what you can do when you get here.
Yeah, no one gave a crap about me when I signed.
Yeah, no. Nobody cared about me when I filled out my application.
I didn't get a fancy table to sign it on.
It is cool, right? Like, but it's not, and like the Cowboys didn't have a pick in the first round, so I didn't even watch on Thursday. But the Giants, Jesus Christ. The New York Giants, right? So they were talking about how they were going to pick the guy who's going to replace Eli Manning, the man who was a two-time Super Bowl winner, who was also the MVP of their Super Bowls.
The Eli Man thing.
That's right. And what happened? Well, they drafted one Daniel Jones from Duke.
Yes. You're probably wondering, who is Daniel Jones from Duke?
It's funny, because so was I.
If you read his very short Wikipedia article, Nick, you can get a rough idea.
Yeah.
Of a very underwhelming Duke team.
Oh?
A Duke team that a couple years ago managed to, with him as the starting quarterback, managed to lose to a 1-11 Baylor team.
Oh, that's right.
And then in his last regular season game, I think he threw like sorry. Dying.
That's all right. No, you're all right. You're all right.
I have the consumption, Nick.
You will live.
And then in his final regular season game, he lost 58-7 to the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Oh, by the way, in that loss to Baylor, he threw one interception and zero touchdowns with a quarterback rating of 19. against the defensive powerhouse known as Baylor, the post Art Briles Dark Age Baylor.
I tell you what, man, it's not a great pick. And then, what's the dude's name who drafted him? Who?
Gettleman.
Yeah. His defense is like, well, you see my name, you see the teams I've worked for, you see the names that I've picked up before. Like, you know I can do this. It's like, yeah, but you're not telling us any reasons why this is a good decision. You're not like, yeah, I saw some great intangibles. I like the way he stands in the pocket and, you know, and doesn't stare down a receiver and is able to, you know, make snap judgment decisions. It's like, no, none of that shit happened. He's just like, I've made good decisions in the past. This is a good decision. You should base it off of my past decisions. It's like, oh, well, okay. So that was just hilarious. And then Kyler Murray.
And he also says quarterback.
God damn it.
And like then, water with a Q in front of it.
And then Kyler Murray was picked up by the Cardinals after they traded Rosen, right?
What?
After they traded Josh Rosen, is that right? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. So they traded Josh Rosen, who didn't have a great year. In his defense, though, he had the worst play callers in the NFL, who were all fired. He also had the worst offensive line in the league. He has now been traded to the Dolphins. And the Dolphins, and like, I think Rosen will be okay, but the Dolphins have the second worst offensive line in the league. So, have fun. But also, I just, like, I don't know how I feel about this Kyler Murray pick. I know he had a great college career, but I also know the man. He's a bit of, he's not a guy who puts himself on the line to get the game. I saw it. I watched it twice this year when the Longhorns played them twice. And rather than take a hit, he would throw himself to the ground. Now, that could be because he was trying to get drafted and make some money. In that case, great. Maybe he is your guy. But he's also short.
Yes.
And while he's fast, I don't know if he can make the decisions. Didn't he also have a really bad Wunderlich score?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear about his Wunderlich score.
I thought it wasn't great. Hold on. I'm going to look it up. Let's see here.
What is a Wunderlich score?
It's a test that they give college quarterbacks during the draft process to see how their football mentality, their football intelligence.
Vince Young did very poorly on his.
Yes.
According to this, he scored a 20. Which seems to be average.
Okay.
That doesn't really tell me a lot. Okay, so I take it back. He did fine on his Wunderlich. Okay, it's my turn here. But I don't know. Like, some, like, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, this is a great decision. He's like, I see him being, to them, what Baker Mayfield was to the Browns. It's like, ah. But nobody thought that about Baker.
Nobody like, thought that was a good
idea. Yeah, like, and while I think Baker's great and, like, you know, is having some success there, it's like, are you sure? I don't know if I'd go out on that limb just yet. But, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel. I'm probably just a little bit against Murray in my head because he played for OU, but also just because I did see what he does in those situations. And again, he does seem to favor himself over his team. Like I said, that
he
could,
does not like getting hit.
No, he does not
and
like
he
getting
is
hit.
Going to get hit.
He's going to get hit hard too. And like, he can make snap judgment decisions and take off running and everything. And I've seen Baker do it. So yeah, he probably has the ability to do that. I just don't know. We'll see. I don't think he'll have a great season because, again, he is behind like the worst O-line in the league. Yeah, he's got Cliff Kingsbury, but like, Cliff Kingsbury couldn't make it as a college football coach. You know who the best college football coach in the world is? Nick Saban. You know what Nick Saban couldn't do? Make it as a fucking head coach in the NFL. Am I right?
Right.
Maybe Cliff Kingsbury is the reverse.
Or you have Chip Kelly again.
Yeah.
College football genius.
Dipshit
complete
NFL.
Nobody in the yeah dipshit in the NFL.
Who
Nick,
knows?
You forgot the most important thing.
What did I forget?
You forgot about Daniel Jones. You forgot the most important thing about him.
What's that?
He is 6'5".
Oh.
You can never go wrong, Nick. You can never go wrong with drafting a tall quarterback.
I feel like you're referencing something.
I just remember it was like Bill Polian saying, you gotta get the tall quarterback. I mean, it's just the smart decision. I think it was talking about like Baker Mayfield or something like that. You just gotta go with the tall guy.
Because Baker's not super tall.
He's not super tall. He's not quite Lilliputian like Kyler Murray, but...
Right, he's probably like 6 foot.
Flat.
But Kyler's like 5'10"?
Yeah, because you Nick... Yeah, allegedly. But, allegedly, that's what he measured at. But, I don't know, there's just this old mentality, like, oh, John Elway was really tall, so all good quarterbacks have to be tall. Peyton Manning is really tall. But sometimes they just draft a tall, you know, a tall dud, like Brock Osweiler.
Oh, yeah.
Or you get people who get very overrated, like Joe Flacco. Or you get people like Ryan Leaf. Of course, that's a special circumstance with Ryan Leaf. But a lot of people do just go, well, he's tall. He's going to be good.
Yeah, Ryan Leaf loved drugs.
Loved them. Couldn't get enough of them.
Couldn't get enough drugs. It ended his career.
Is he currently in prison? I think he is currently in prison.
Kind of sad. Oh, well.
let's just Google, is Ryan Leaf in prison?
All right, so... All right. I mean, that's pretty much all I wanted to say about the draft. Like, I just didn't...
I wanted to say one other thing about the draft.
Okay, please.
All right. So, watching the draft, I couldn't watch it. Well, the Spurs were playing anyway. So, I wasn't watching the first night of the draft. What the hell is the deal that... Like, okay, the draft starts at 7. Uh-huh. The first pick is announced at 7:24.
Well, they had a decision to make.
They made that decision days, if not weeks ago, Nick.
No, they made it right then.
That's pretty true. Why it's not they like need someone to... else just showed up, and they're like, ooh, we've got option again, boys.
Well, first off, they want to drag that
shit
like
their
as long
pick,
as possible.
It's not like their pick, you know, got hit with a steel chair backstage, and now they need to come up with a new third partner for their tag team for the main event of Raw.
Daryl, they had to think about stretching it out as long as possible so you get the advertising dollars in addition to just...
I can listen to Todd McShay and Mel Kiper have the same goddamn conversation they've been having for 3 months.
Also, they hate each other, don't they? Or they did. I don't know if they still do.
I think they just hate each other around draft time. And they just need their time apart.
Yeah, they've been spending too much time together.
They're almost like a work couple.
Yeah, kind of.
Like they're both each other's work husband.
They should play that up more in the little promos that ESPN does. shit. Yeah, you're right. I know a lot of people are like, good God in heaven, when are we going to get to this shit? People are like, people are getting out of Avengers Endgame faster.
Yeah.
And that first pick went up.
The show should start with the first pick in. There is no reason why they need another 15 minutes. That's why I like the NBA draft. It's one night, takes about 3 hours, it's all done. It doesn't have to take up 3 days of my life like the NFL draft. But just like you, Nick, I mean, the Cowboys weren't in the first round, so I didn't really care yeah. that much.
And like you said, plus the Spurs were playing, so it was like, okay, yeah, let's do this.
Do I watch a playoff basketball game? Or do I watch a bunch of people, a bunch of rich people picking which players are going to play with their team?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for Christ's sake, I still can't beat these guys. Well.
Next, fight them.
I'll encircle.
Fight a battle.
I can't. I'll force
fight
them.
A battle.
I'll force them out. How about that?
Nick, I've already secured my province, by the way.
Oh, God damn it. I could march northwest, though, and take that. So, that's pretty much it for the sports talk tonight. I said it's the least sportsy version, even though I feel like we still spent like an hour talking about like pretty in-depth discussion on the NBA playoffs. But I have a story. I have a story. And it's not sports-related. I guess I could tie it into sports.
We were going to play board games. It's kind of a sport.
Yeah, we were going to play board games. I was very excited about it. I was leaving my house, and traffic looked bad, Daryl, so I said to myself, well, you know, I'm not going to take I-35. I'm going to hop on the toll road 130. Like, yeah.
I did the same thing.
It'll cost me some money, but I'll get to see my boys. We'll get to play some board games. And you know what? I'll bring a six-pack. We'll have a drink. I assume we were going to eat something at some point, some snacks.
We got some wings.
Delicious wings.
I fucking thought. I thought it was going to happen. So, very excited. Very happy. Hopping in the car. I've plotted out. I'm going to get off at this one spot to stop at a Valero because it's the only thing on the toll road that you can stop at and get beer. And I was like, I'll get beer here because it actually has a walk-in fridge. Because I'm classy like that.
Yeah.
And so
I'm not pulling beer out of a fridge like some kind of homeless person.
Yeah. So I'm driving on the toll road. The toll road is like 10 miles faster than your average freeway. It's like 80 miles. But also, I was like, I got fucking places to be. So I'm probably going like 90. And so I changed lanes at one point. I'm just north of 71. I changed lanes. And you know those little... The little pieces that are like in between the lanes, the night reflectors.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know if I hit one or if something popped up, but all of a sudden I heard like a thoom. And I was like, oh, that was really fucking weird. And then I hear this. I was like, oh man, I hope something's not wrong with my tire. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of smoke coming out. And I'm like, I'm on a fucking toll road. So I'm like, okay, I'll get off here. So I got off. Like, I was right at the next exit. So, like, I got off. I got past the part because it's like it does that automatic picture-taking thing. And I pulled off. I pull over. I open the door. I look at my fucking back tire. And I wish I'd taken a picture of it. The back tire, like a huge chunk. Like, imagine if you took, let's say you took a regular size wallet, right? Like one of the fold over wallets. Imagine you took that wallet and you opened it, right? So it was like perfectly opened. That's how big the fucking hole in the tire was. It blew out that entire side. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm probably lucky to be alive. One, because it probably could have flipped me or could have made me spin out going that fast. And maybe the speed was the thing that kept me going straight. I don't know. And so I'm like, well, shit, that sucks. I guess I'll put on the spare and I'll drive. I'll get off. Like, I'm already north of where the slowdown is on 35, and I can only go 50 on the spare anyway. I'll just go to Corey's, and then when we're done, I'll figure out the tire thing later. I'll just take it easy speed-wise, right? That's my thought. I open the trunk. I pop the trunk. I open that little lift-up spot. And there's no fucking tire. And I'm like, huh. Well, that's weird. And then I remember, oh, yeah, when I bought this car, because I see the little piece there, it's like they gave me the little sealant that I could put on a tire if it had a hole. And I'm like, that's a big fucking hole. I won't be able to make that work. So then I went back in my car and I was like, ah, shit. Well, I guess I could call Amanda and have her pick me up. I'll take the tire off. Well, at first I was like, no, I'll just figure out what these tires are, these sizes are, and I'll take care of that, right? And I walk up to the tire, and I was like, yeah, I'll just do that. And I was like, oh, fuck me. It has an alloy rim, so I need to have it removed before I can get a new tire, because it's the only way that it can be attached, right? It's not like your typical tire comes with this. You have to have the alloy rim. And so I was like, fuck. Well, okay, I'll just take the tire off here, and I'll take it with me, and we'll just take it to a store, and I'll get it replaced there, right? So I opened the trunk again because I had closed it because I was like, oh, well, I won't be needing that. I go in there, and there's no fucking wrench. There's also no jack. I'm like, well, okay. Well, I guess that's that. And then Amanda, like an hour later, shows up, and she can't come and get me because she might have some extended toll stuff. Or like something she has to work out with that company because it's a company-based thing, which is bullshit. And so I ended up walking like a half mile to the gas station, which isn't that far, but I'm wearing a black Spurs shirt. It's very hot. And then
very sunny.
And so I ended up walking to the gas station and meeting her there. And ultimately I was like, it's going to cost too much to have this thing towed. I don't know where we're going to have it towed because it's already 5:00. A lot of places are closed, if not about to close. So I'm like, fuck, I'll leave it because it's probably better off here in the middle of nowhere off the toll road than if I had like broken down in the city somewhere and had to leave the car, right? And it's like, They won't tow a car that's left for like a week, maybe 3 days if the cops notice it and like tag it, right? They put tags on those abandoned vehicles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that. My dad was like, I'll just take Amanda's socket, the wrench, and her why the hell can't I think of what it's called, and
the jack.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just do that. My dad was like, you know what, I'm coming up to Austin anyway, I'll give you a hand. I was like, okay. So the next day my dad comes up and we pull up to the car, and we take out the socket wrench and we put it on, and the fucking As he puts it on, the lug nuts are too fucking big. It's not the universal, like the one that typically comes with the vehicle, right? But luckily my dad had like a tire iron, right, that had like four different sizes. And so like we ended up having to use the biggest one. And so I ended up taking that whole thing apart after we were able to jack it up, put it in my dad's trunk. We took it over to an NTB, National Tire Battery, and then they took that shit out and put it on the new tire, but I had to buy four new tires. And then they were like, oh, we'll bring the car back here and we'll put it on. So then it's like, okay, we drove all the way back, but my dad's like, I don't want to get on the toll road again, so we're just going to roll it like the half mile up here. So like I was carrying the heavy-ass tire / rolling this heavy-ass tire as these people are coming off the toll road flying balls past us. I finally get back to the car. We put the thing on, and I hop in the car. It's like, oh, thank God. And then we go to NTB, and then it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, we're pretty busy, so it'll... It's, by the way, this is like 12:30. They're like, oh, we'll get to it at 2. And then when they got to it at 2, it took them an hour and a half for some reason because they were super busy. So, like, I had to sit in this fucking NTB all day with my dad, and the only thing that was on TV was MSNBC talking about politics. And my dad and I don't completely see eye to eye on politics. I don't ever talk about it around him, but then he started going off on shit, and I was like, I will kill myself. I can't take any more of this. But that's my story, dude. Like, every single thing that went wrong with this tire, that could have gone wrong with this tire, went wrong with this fucking tire. Now I have all of them replaced. It took forever. My dad was very helpful, and I'm grateful to him for his help. But it's like, Jesus Christ, I just wanted to play board games. It's all I wanted. I just wanted to play board games.
We played Champions of Midgard, Nick. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, we did. I just wanted to play a board game.
But I didn't understand how some of the mechanics work, so I ended up nullifying my special ability and losing poorly.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It was a real shame.
Yep. I put, like, people doubled up my score. It was pretty bad.
That does sound pretty bad.
I thought Daryl was secretly going to win, so I kept messing him
up. I didn't realize how... And realize,
yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, he ended up giving me shame tokens. And shame tokens, like, hurt your final score, and the more shame tokens you have, it, like, multiplies.
Other shame tokens? Okay.
And he just kept giving me only a shame. I didn't realize that the Destiny cards were so useless.
Yeah.
Like, they only gave you, like, a few points.
So you know, Daryl didn't have a fun time either, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, think about me, all right? I was confused playing a board game while you were just sitting there having fun, all that fresh air.
So, did you get a spare tire?
No, that's my next step. I'm getting a goddamn spare tire and a jack and a...
You should have had him keep one of the old ones and just slap it on a spare.
No, because I don't have... I would have to get a new alloy rim. So,
yeah. Moral of the story is,
make sure you have a spare fucking tire.
I'm pretty sure my car is not going to come with a spare tire, so I'm going to go buy a spare tire.
Yes, let this be a lesson to you, John, and all you people out there.
When you get a car, find the spare tire, or find that there's not a spare tire.
And
that's what I did on mine. Like I tore it apart trying to figure out where the spare tire was.
Just remember, plan accordingly. But the reason I bought additional tires is because Ray's like, I need to get a spare. The reason that I got all the other tires is because it's like, oh, buy three, get one free. And also, like, I've had that car for 5 years and I haven't replaced the tires yet, so I was like, it's time. Oh, and that's the other thing, right? Like, I could have called, like, I don't have, the other thing I'm thinking about getting now is roadside assistance. But also,
yeah, AAA.
Yeah, but because my parents are like, oh, we just added it. Are you on our plan? Like, no, I'm not on your fucking plan. It's not how it works. But as I sat there on the side of the road, right, I was like, oh my God, I have warranty for this car. Like, all right, let's see. Available up to this amount of miles, which I was under. Like, I think it was 75,000 or something. It's like, perfect, I'm under that. And I was like, and the time frame is 60 months. And let's see. I bought this car in March of 2014. I was like, what's this month? Like, fuck! It's like 5 years and a month too long.
Yeah, that's how they get you, Nick. That's how they get you.
So, let that be a lesson to everyone out there. And I hope that story wasn't shitty. Like, I was like, oh, this will be funny. And then as I was telling it, I was like, this story is not funny at all. It just sucks.
He's so depressed about it.
No, it was just, it was dumb.
Yeah, Nick, we, you know, we tried to have fun without you, Nick. And...
Well, I hope you had fun without me. At first I felt a little bad, and then I was like, wait a minute. Like, it'd be one thing if I made some excuse and then just fucked off. It's like, I legit got fucked over. And I was just like, I'm going home. I ate a whole tray of brownies. I ate my feelings.
Yep. Eat those feelings, Nick.
I ate them feelings. Yes, sir. All right. Well.
Nick, you know what's really great? What? Having your own province all to yourself.
Shut up, Daryl. I'm working on it. I've encircled this place for a long damn time.
Aren't you supposed to be like the empire? How can you be an empire with only one city?
Shut up. I should make some alliances. Actually, what I should do is build another army. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and end the episode of Sports MacGuffins, but we're going to continue streaming. So if you're watching the stream, we're still here. If you are listening to this episode later, you can check it out on twitch.tv/Schwarzenegger, and I'll also link it below. But thanks for listening to the episode of Sports MacGuffins. And next week, we'll be back to more of a regular thing where it's us talking about sports and and probably have a little bit more insight. This is just a really busy week, and of course the stupid car thing. So for Daryl and for John, thank you so much for joining us on the audio version of the podcast.
Right. Hopefully, I won't be coughing as much next time.
Oh, yeah, that too. Poor, like, I would be like, "Hey, Daryl, what do you think about this?"
That's when the consumption.
All right.
Now, can you see the lines I'm drawing?
Hold on, I'll take a look in a sec. I gotta stop the thing. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.